Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're live. And really, we've been going through a lot of series. We went through the Shadow Government Works for the Antichrist series. We finished that up last week. So that entire series is there on the YouTube channel or on my website. And so I hope that people will enjoy that. I have to say is... not a whole lot of people listen to a lot of these series I do. Once in a while, you know, we get a couple hundred listeners, but that's about it. But most of them, I get way less than 100 listeners on them. So I don't know, why should I continue to do things where I, well, I guess for the few listeners I get to them. I don't know what to do about that, but except to keep doing what I'm doing. So anyway, talk about a few things. I guess we can go over some things. If you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, make sure you subscribe there. In the upper left-hand column, it'll say it'll ask you to follow this blog, and tells you that 574 other amazing people are following my blog. Okay, well. It's kind of a wonder I sent every one of them an email today. Well, I guess they can opt out of the emails. And so probably all of them have opted out of the emails, I'm guessing. I don't know how that works, but it must be. Because nobody shows up for the live broadcast anymore, hardly, except for very few people. So I don't know, man. I must be doing something right. Or something wrong. I can't quite figure out which. Anyway, got some articles I should bring to your attention. We were talking about in the last hour, Rick Wiles making up a derogatory term for a dispensational futurist and then adding things in his list of things if you believe that you're one of these dipsies that he calls them. And but some of those things are explicitly stated in the scripture. So if you believe some things that are explicit, because I would never put anything that's explicitly stated in the scripture on a list of things if you believe, you get to be called a derogatory name. Okay? And so, I don't know, see, I think it's wrong for anyone to go out there and especially have a forum like he has, because how many people... have watched just this video on YouTube, 30,000, and he has his own channel with his own YouTube, his own video server. So that's a lot of people that he's reached. Not to mention live listeners. He doesn't have a counter on his website for his own video server. So that's a lot of people to reach and encourage them to call people who may have. A wrong belief in the Bible because they've been deceived, a derogatory name. That's, I don't know, man. I would be afraid to do something like that, to encourage people to, especially make up a derogatory name for them to call other people. So that's doesn't seem quite right to me. And I hope that he will, I really, you know, hope that, you know, if he doesn't want to be a coadjutor for the Antichrist, that he'll reconsider some of the things I said in that hour. So maybe someone, you guys could send him this and say, hey, maybe you ought to pay attention to some of these things. Because, you know, us true Protestants, true Protestants, because evangelicals today, if they're not outing the great apostasy and the man of sin, then they're not Protestants. They can call them, they're Protestant. There are a lot of Protestants in name only, but they're not Protestants. It's like a lot of people are Christians in name only. They're nominal Christians. Well, they're nominal Protestants, okay? And they're certainly not Reformed, you know, because the Reformation was to pull you out of the great apostasy. That was the whole idea of the being Reformed, to bring those in the great apostasy back to the true faith. That's what the Reformation was all about. We don't need a new one. We need to revive the Reformation. You know, we need to be transformed. That's what the Reformation was about, transforming the church of the day into the true belief, the true gospel message, which is still void, which is still not there in the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? So we don't need a new Reformation. So anyway, have these resources there, and pay attention to this one, Alien Invasion. Talk about these. And I would hope that Rick Wiles would watch this series, take notes, you know, and understand why some people can believe in some of those things on his list, because they're explicitly stated in the Scripture, or there are indications in the Scripture that during this time that a lot of those things will be true, that, yeah, there will be mortals during the millennium. Because, see, the millennium, the week, the millennial week, the 7,000 years total, I believe, as many throughout history have believed, as historically the church has believed, that there are 7,000 years allotted to this creation. And then after that is the new heavens and new earth, which will never end. Well, will be a world without end. This creation has an end. It has. I mean, if there's any parentheses, it starts in the before the Garden of Eden, when God said, "In the beginning," you know, that would be the first part, because that's where He created everything. And the end of this creation will be at the end of the final millennium, after the judgment, okay, with the new heaven and new earth, because the Scripture explicitly states that this will all, you know, suddenly be gone, and there will be a new heaven and new earth. So this creation, I believe, has 7,000 years allotted to it. And I believe that God has a purpose for having a 1,000 years under the reign of His Son, ruling from Jerusalem as the capital of the whole earth. I believe He has a purpose for that. Because a lot of people might say, well, only if Satan wasn't loose, and if we had good government, then people would not do evil. But see, is that going to take care of the sin problem? And so I believe there's room for a demonstration, something that God wants to demonstrate with the 1,000-year reign, beside it being a blessed time, you know. I look forward to the 1,000-year reign of Christ as separate from the new heaven and new earth. I'll be in a glorified body like Jesus. I'll be resurrected, and I'll rule and reign with Him as He rules and reigns the whole earth from His capital, Jerusalem. You know, what exactly my job will be as part of His ruling government over the earth, I don't know, but I'm not worried about it. I'm sure, you know, He's already seen it all. I mean, the way I look at it is the entire creation has already been created from beginning to end, because God's already seen the end from the beginning. This creation is finite. It's contained in a 7,000-year period. Yeah, a week of 1,000 years. That's what I believe, and I'm not alone in this belief. The Church Fathers throughout history, because I've studied prophecy in history. You know, I have here the history of apocalyptic interpretation. Bores the death out of people, because I put most of this series, I quit doing it because so few people were watching it. So I might pick it back up, but or do it as a special and redo it or something. I need a team here, I'm going to tell you. people that would be dedicated, like to doing some of this work, and I guess retired people, because I can't afford to pay anybody. I can't afford to pay myself. If you're not doing anything with your life, you don't have to come here to do this either. We could collaborate together. Although if you wanted to move out here and you're self-supporting, you had your own pension or whatever, took care of yourself like you should have to make sure that when your retirement years come that you wouldn't be begging bread on the street. And, well, we could go into the whole socialist thing, which seems to offend a lot of people. Because why? Because they're socialists. It's a whole thing today. What's going on in the world out there. But anyway, go to my website here, crosstheborder.org, and this is the homepage button there. If you click on that, it takes you to the homepage, which I'm looking at. And take advantage. If you scroll down on my website, you'll see I have some of my prophecy books highlighted here, and you can buy these by clicking on the covers there. And this is all done. The Hori Apocalyptike. If you click on that, see, it'll take you to my Lulu page, and you can see that the Hori Apocalyptike 4 volumes is done there. And this is, you can get it in paperback or hardcover edition, depending on how much money you have to spend. Take advantage of that. But you can also read this for free, you know. I like to make money, yeah. I guess I would be a capitalist. I believe in capitalism, that people should be able to work hard, produce stuff, and reap the reward of their labors, okay? But I'm also a missionary here, and so I give these things away for free. Yeah, you can read this for free by going to horiapocalyptike.wordpress.com. I have published almost the entire thing there, minus some of the appendices, okay? But most people won't read it. But there are a few people that are actually reading it from the horiapocalyptike.wordpress.com site. But like I said, you can buy these 16, 17, 18, about $17, about $18 a piece, because I got a 50% discount on them from the list price. For these, because these are all, like, if you click on volume one here, and it'll take you to that, it'll tell you that it is how many pages? 456 pages. And you can even preview it here online. Oh, it says get Flash. I don't have Flash, but you can preview it there. So, but like I said, take advantage of that. And take advantage of all these things on my website. The most popular title on my website is The Empire of the City and The Unholy Trinity that Rules the World. So we talk about the Antichrist and his shadow government, how he rules the world now, and how most people can't see it because of the way he rules. The beast that was and is not, yet is, yeah, because the wounded head has been healed. And he is fully in control of the earth now. See, Rick Wiles and all dispensationalists, and he tells people, that's another thing he said in that show, is he says that if you're a Dipsyite, you should go to the Lutheran, Episcopal, or some other church, and you go to one of these stale old churches where they teach nothing, basically. I went to a Lutheran church a couple times here, and in the town nearby where I live, and it was awful bad. It's very stale. The Lutheran priest or pastor was up there in a robe, and he was doling out has special dispensation, giving everybody the sharing the bread and the wine during the Lord's Supper, I guess. They do it as a sacrament, more like the Catholic Church than anything. And so I went there, and then I visited another church in another part of town, and lo and behold, the pastor of the Lutheran church was the pastor at this other church too. They just did it at a different time, and he's using, I think, the EV, the New English Version or whatever it is, Revised English Version, a very Jesuit version because it distorts prophecy, especially Daniel chapter 9. And, you know, they're all the people that are well-meaning, very nice, congenial, very friendly people. And I could love all those people, but I can't be seduced by them. I can love sinners. You know, Jesus loved sinners, but he wasn't seduced by them. And see, that's the problem with us mere mortals, is we are not Jesus. We are easily seduced. And the seduction is you see these people, some of them are wonderful, loving people, and you think, oh, surely. You know, and they're involved in apostasy, and some of them just out blatant sin, and you think, oh, well, God can't condemn them to hell because, you know, there's a seduction hanging out with the world, and even homosexuals and being around gay people, you know, and going, oh, they're so nice, you know, I can see how the generation, this whole generation is being seduced. Especially with the media and everything and portraying these as normal and everything. And yeah, it is normal for sinful man to be sinful, you know, and we're so easily seduced. And so I understand the seduction, you know, because I've hung out with a lot of these people, but I cannot allow myself to be seduced. I have to keep myself in the Word. And I have to tell them, they're wrong. You're wrong. And that's, you know, because if you stand up and then you become judgmental and hateful and things like that because you don't accept them. But they don't need me, you know. Especially like, why do the atheists and the gay people care what I believe about them spending eternity in hell? They don't believe it, so what do they care if I'm delusional, according to them, and I believe that they're going to hell forever? Why does it offend them so much? Well, I'll tell you why it offends them so much. Because it cuts to the quick. It convicts them of sin. And, well, that's why God's people suffer. Because they're not seduced. Because they do challenge, they do call to repentance. Jesus cried out, and he went about preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." And unless you enter God's kingdom now, when your time, your mortality ends, however that ends, whenever it ends, if you're not walking in God's kingdom, then you will not be in his kingdom forever. You will go to that second death. And that resurrection that happens at the end of the seventh millennium. At the end of the millennial reign of Christ that you read about in chapter 20 and 21 of the book of Revelation. You will be raised there, and then you, because that will be your second life, you will be raised from the dead to be judged. And then you will experience the second death. And that's what God calls us to call people to true repentance. You know, I have sinned. I've sinned greatly in my life. I'm not going to go over my sins and name them all and give the devil fodder to attack me with. We have all sinned. None of us are righteous in ourselves. You know, without the blood of Christ, I have nothing. I'm dead in my sins. I live in Christ. Without him, I am dead. And so is everyone else, especially those of you that are practicing, still practicing sin. Now, I don't practice sin, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to violate God's law someday in my life. I mean, I'd never want to again. I look forward to the day. I look forward to the resurrection, because then I will never even be tempted to sin again. See, and see, that's when we love the appearing of Christ. That's why God's people love his appearing. Because when we see him, we will be like him. We will never be tempted to sin. We will never be able to be seduced by sin. But in this life, we have to guard our hearts and our spirits. Because we are easily seduced, all of us. That's why we have to be careful. And we can't say, oh, you know, it's like, oh, this guy, I know him, he's gay and he's so nice and he's so giving and loving and, you know, how could a loving God condemn him to hell? Well, loving God is not going to condemn him to hell. He's already made his choice. He's decided that loving his sin is more important than loving God. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love me, you do the things I say. He said, I'm not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And he came, he fulfilled the law. And then we want to please him. And we learned that loving him is what pleases him, is aspiring to keep his commandments, by repenting of everything that violates his law and his commandments. I'm not saved by the works that I do. I do the works because I'm saved. It's evidence that I'm saved. It's not my righteousness. I can only do it because his Holy Spirit calls me to repentance. So I walk in repentance. Repentance is the way of life for the reformed, for the truly reformed. And the only new reformation we need is the one that happens in you, when the Holy Spirit reforms you, conforms you, day by day, repentance by repentance. That's the changing of the mind, bringing your mind in conformity with his. But the work is not complete. Not in this mortal existence. That's why we love his appearing and we long for it. Okay. We'll be back for another segment after some messages. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. Don't go anywhere.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately. and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. It's our Prophecy Reality Edition. And let me check the chat room here. Let's see. We have, I only have Corporate, Cal Bob, and R2010 in the studio. And let's see. Rick's pejoratives with ad hominems do not serve. The problem with socialism, and eventually you run out of other people's money. Yes, that's I've heard that one before. The sacrament is a reminder of Jesus' instructions. Do this in remembrance of me, or welcome. As, okay, right on that, Matthew 7. Okay, well, I guess if anyone wants to call in, the phone line is open. That's at 559-797-8537. That's 559-797 8537. And turn that heater off. It got a little chilly in here sitting still all this time. But the heater makes a lot of noise. Okay. Well, what next? That's the good question. What am I going to talk about next? Forgot what we were talking about when I left. Okay. Yeah, we talked about a lot of things. And so I've got a lot of resources for you at my website, the Beasts of Powers of Apocalyptic Scripture, three-part series, 1-3, Historicism Explained, and In Defense of Reformed Eschatology. I've got a playlist there. I think Rick Wiles should watch that if he wants to, if he wants to have a biblical answer, he needs to know what the biblical points are for historicism. Although I have a feeling that he's just going to completely ignore me. Yeah. Oh, yes, indeed. Okay. Well, for a lot of people out there, I have a series, and if you haven't paid any attention to this one yet, it's called What Year Is It? And if you go to my website, you'll see the What Year Is It on there. So click on that and go through that series there. I don't know. I think too many people are spending too much time watching videos and not reading, that they can't even read it more than maybe a paragraph or something. Am I right or wrong about this? But I know a lot of people read books, but I guess most people can. I see the young people with their cell phones in their faces. You know, so many hours a day. I have my granddaughter and my daughter, you know, like this continually with this thing in their face. And I just think, man, I need to shut it off. Around here, Wi-Fi, and it goes off at 9 o'clock. You know, on your Wi-Fi, you has a timer in it. You can turn it off by a clock, so at least they aren't up all night looking at their phones or something. Yeah, that's something you might want to do if you have teenage children with cell phones on Wi-Fi. So I gave my daughter text and talk, and And then when she turned 18, because my daughter just, my youngest daughter turned 18. So I have an oldest daughter who is 42. So my youngest daughter just turned 18 in January. So I finally let her have Wi-Fi on her cell phone. But it's just like, there it is. The addiction begins. I figure she's 18, I got to treat her like a grown-up. So, which means she has to work. Yeah, she's finished with her homeschooling, and so I put her to work. So if she's not going to go out there and get a job, well, I've given her a job. But I don't like being anybody's taskmaster, to tell you the truth. I never was very good at it when I was in the contracting and building business. But I did my job when I worked for others and I supervised or was a foreman. Because I've done it all from journeyman carpenter to foreman to supervisor, and I did my job. Yeah, hired people and fired people, and had to supervise and foreman a lot of guys that were older than me, because I was pretty young when I started doing foreman work, and then moved to supervisory work. So it was a challenge, but one I was able to handle till I retired from that about late 1980s. Yeah, that makes me really old, doesn't it? So I was still young when I, in the 1980s, when I retired from that kind of work. Yeah, so which means I only did it for about 10 or 12 years when I retired from that. And then I went into just doing part-time on my own handyman stuff, because I wanted to stop traveling. Yeah. And stay at home and take care of home business. And then God called me to do radio about 1993 or about 1994. And then I started doing a Bible broadcast about 1996. So I've been doing this for, 23 years now. That's a long time. It's longer than I did construction. It's longer than I did construction. I think longer than I did construction work. Although I still do construction occasionally. Still love doing woodworking and stuff like that. Okay, what are we talking about? Just rambling here, trying to fill up the last half hour, because I really didn't prepare for anything. See, R2010, which, don't know what your real name is. Thank you for your service. He or she says, Nicholas, attention spans are drastically shrinking. Yes, they are. Yeah, I never got into looking at my phone, I've spent so much time now working on the computer that it's the last thing I want to do when I'm not working is to look at a computer screen or play games on the computer. My game is work. So I tell my daughter, I says, when you work on the computer, you don't get the adrenaline, you don't get the endorphin rushes that the games give you. Because actually all they do is they give you that, instant gratification. All of these responses that you get physically from the games. Well, you're supposed to get these naturally in life, and not every 5 minutes or 3 minutes or so like the games give you. So it's no surprise. And people need to understand this, what's happening to them and why they're addicted, is because they're being flooded with these natural endorphins and hormones but this is all happening unnaturally. These things were given as a gift to us from God. But they're not supposed to happen every 5 minutes, Like if they happen once or twice a day, you're probably doing really well naturally, especially adrenaline. I mean, that's supposed to be something that's that you're not supposed to have very often because it's very detrimental. And the endorphins, the continuous endorphin, I mean, just deadens you, makes you dead. Yeah. You get endorphin rushes continually. That's something you're supposed to enjoy at certain moments, you know, emotional good moments that happen naturally in your life to enjoy certain aspects of good God-given pleasure that life is supposed to give you. But if you're getting this every 3 or 5 minutes playing stupid games on the computer, you're becoming dead. You're deadening yourself. Yeah. Incorporating the trance and the chat room says the most addictive drug is in our own brain. And that's true. And so all you young people out there, all you people addicted to these games, you're killing yourselves. You're deadening yourself to the real world by allowing this. That's why I won't play. Never got into it. You know, I played games before, and I played and I felt all of that you feel. But I just, you know, I made a decision. You know, it's called discipline. It's called self-discipline. You know, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. That's what it means. That's what discipline means, self-control. That's why you become a disciple of Christ, because you learn self-control. You learn self-discipline, you know. And that's the whole thing, pornography, video games, and all of those things that trigger your endorphins or trigger adrenaline. And now you're addicted. You have to have this high. It's like smoking cigarettes. Same thing. You know, all of these addictions that you have is because you have no self-control. But you can take it, you know, just ask God, just, you know, His Holy Spirit to come in and give you the power to repent, to change your mind and bring your life into conformance with Christ, to be transformed, to be reformed and transformed by His Holy Spirit. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Because it is sin. I'm sorry, you know, that I have to tell you this. I'm sorry that I have to be the one to tell you. I'm not sorry that I'm doing it. It's because someone needs to do it. Someone needs to preach this repentance gospel. It's the true gospel. And if you're not preaching the same gospel that Jesus preached, because He went about saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. I mean, read the gospel according to Matthew. Repent, 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 repent. The kingdom is at hand. And Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's repent. It's changing your mind. The meta, change, nail, change your mind. Repent. That's being conformed to the image of the only begotten Son. Having your mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. See, it's all a repentance message. It is the true gospel, is to repent. That's the good news, is you can repent, you can enter God's kingdom today, and you can stay in His kingdom. Or you can stay out because you love pleasure too much. You love the pleasures of this life more than you love God. See? That's why we can't be seduced by the world. Because that's why the homosexual wants a homosexual church. He wants to marry like the other people, or he or she or whoever or it or whatever. And all these, you know, some wonderful people have been seduced and deluded and fallen in sin. They all need to repent, whether your sin is adultery, fornication, homosexuality, instant gratification, continuous instant gratification, you know, whatever your sin is, you know, you need to repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Enter the kingdom of God and live forever. As I say, cross the border. There's only one way to cross the border, and that is repentance. Repentance, that's where you cross the border. You repent of your sins, and you plead with the Almighty, please teach me obedience. Oh my goodness, that's a change of mind. And that's when your mind will begin to change. Oh, you won't some of you won't. Some of you may be changed instantly, and some of you may not. Some of you may have to work really hard at it for the rest of your life, like me. I'll tell you, repentance is hard work. It has been for me. I don't know, maybe there's other people out there that it was easy for, but I certainly can't identify with any of those people. I simply cannot identify with them. Repentance continues to be hard work for me. I may make, for those around me, I may make it look easy. But if you live with me, you've seen a few moments where I've slipped or lost my temper or things have come out of my mouth that I heard come out of my father's mouth. It happens to the best of us. Right now, it seems like I'm at this stage in my life where now I just kind of trip, lose my balance, and the Father's hand, and I'm reaching for the Father's hand immediately because I'm not going to fall. One of my prayers is, please, please, Heavenly Father, don't let me fall. I want to stand. When I'm on shaky ground, when the adversity comes, and I'm on shaky ground and I start to fall, please hold me up. I don't like falling. I've fallen enough in my life. I got a whole lifetime of falling behind me. No more falling for me. Please. And it's not because I'm great or anything. It's just because I've had a lot of experience and I have way too much invested in the kingdom of God that I could never turn back. No way. So that's why I plead with God to keep me and don't let me fall and hold me up and to keep me from temptation. Yeah, that's it. It's like the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. We shouldn't fall into temptation. It's a journey. And I like what Kevin Swanson says. He talks about trajectory. My trajectory is upward and onward. There's no going back. And that's the journey. And the destination, well, Paul said, keep your eye on the prize. That's the destination. The destination is the resurrection. Because once I make it there, once he comes, and once I see him and I'm like him, because I will be as he is, and I will know as he is, as I'm also known, then all of the trials and all of the temptations will be behind me. So that's the destination. And then it's only, then it's after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when I rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And then comes the new heaven and new earth. And man, I can't tell you exactly how it's going to be. But the word says that he has revealed those things to us. And in a way he has. I can't tell you about them, but I know what he's revealed to me is real. And it's true. And everything that he's written, all of God's promises are true, and yes, and amen to me. Because there is no going back. So that's the gospel message. Someone in the chat room put down Matthew chapter 7. Yes, quite a sermon there in Matthew chapter 7. If you go to Matthew chapter 7, there it is. It's about, talks all about the few and the many. That's my, the most revealing thing in chapter 7. He says, enter into the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That's the many of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Because he says, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. So my prayer for me, for you, for my children, my grandchildren, and it's for as many as can receive it, is that they will be one of the few. Oh, Heavenly Father, please, I plead, I beg, I want to be one of the few. Can that be your prayer today? And can you earnestly pray that you want to be one of the few? Then you need to fix your eye on the prize, the resurrection, eternal life, and you have to walk. I call it the repentance road. See, it's a narrow way that leads unto life. Okay? Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. That's the repentance road. That's where you cross the border into his kingdom. When you cross, it's a narrow way. It's a straight way, it's a narrow way, but it's the only way that leads to life. And, you know, if the homosexual, the gay person wants it, well, then he's going to have to repent and leave that life behind, because the new life, there are no gays in the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's right. There are no homosexuals in the kingdom of God. There are repentants. You have a new identity. You become a new creature in Christ. You're no longer an alcoholic. You're no longer a drug addict. You're no longer a homosexual. Yeah, you may fall down because you're learning how to walk. But you'll get back up because you pray that prayer and you said, I want to be one of the few. No matter what it takes, Father, make sure you always, you know, put a hook in my jaw and drag me back into that narrow way that leads to life. I don't care, you know. I mean, hey, I fell down a lot, but happily, you know, God always stood me back up on my feet. It wasn't always easy, but eventually it happened to the point where I'm at now. Falling down is no fun at all. The price is too high, you know. The price to my family. If you love God, keep his commandments. If you love your family, keep his commandments. If you love your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, keep his commandments. If you love all those that you've preached to and any that you may have led to Christ, keep his commandments. Do it for them. Do it for yourself. Do it for eternal life. Do it because you love him. Because he laid down his life for you. There's so many reasons to walk the repentance road. And there are so many reasons that you want to stay off of the broad way that leads to destruction with the many. Yeah, you don't want to be seduced by the many, any of them. Because the many, is that means more than the few. Few is a minority. Many is a majority. And that's where the world is going. That's what the world is. The world is the many that are on the broad way that's leading to destruction. Many. Very nice people. Many people I like. Some I even love are on the broad way that leads to destruction. Breaks my heart. Many have passed on that rejected the gospel. People I loved. I won't see them in the resurrection. But I'm not going to give up life just because I love them and they decided to, you know, reject the gospel. No, I have to live anyway. Doesn't matter what the many have done. Even the best of the many. So that's the lesson of Matthew chapter 7. And that's the world, the broad way. You know, that's the world. And the few that find it, you know, are the few that walk on the narrow way that leads to life. Okay, well, I'm done for the day. May the Almighty bless you and keep you. as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life. And if you don't, if you haven't yet, cross the border into his kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. There's absolutely nothing more important than that.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Visit CrossTheBorder.org, C-R-O-S-S, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's CrossTheBorder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit CrossTheBorder.org, C-R-O-S-S, CrossTheBorder.org to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's CrossTheBorder.org.